Now we go to North Carolina, where a debate is raging over a change in school districting plans. In the year 2000, the Wake County School Board assigned children to public schools based in part on income. This plan was part of the district's diversity policy and said each institution could have no more than 40% of students on free or reduced lunch and no more than 25% scoring below grade level. With 144,000 students, Wake County was one of America's largest districts to maintain school diversity through socioeconomic status. Now the board is moving to replace its old policy, and board member John Tedesco is leading the charge. Income would not be a factor in the proposed policy. Parents and kids would choose from many magnet schools. We're going to speak with Mr. Tedesco about this in a few minutes, but first, the state's NAACP is standing against the change. To understand why, we've called the president, the Reverend Dr. William J. Barber. He joins us from member station KNCU at North Carolina Central University. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so glad to be on with you today.
What is your concern about the plan, about this new policy? What do you think the intention is?
Well, let me give a little context first, in that there is a broad coalition, including four members of the school board, one African-American and three whites, broad coalition of religious leaders, civic leaders, white, black, Hispanic, who are against it, not just NAACP, because we believe in high-quality, constitutional, diverse schools for all children. We believe that's what our federal constitution requires. That's what our state constitution requires. We now have five ideologues came into the board last year, and they are deciding to scrap a plan which was developed in the wake of years of North Carolina not complying with its laws, in the wake of the school board saying it would hold on to neighborhood schools unless it was forced to. This plan, which was developed by blacks and whites, made a commitment to no more than 40% high poverty in any school and achievement level. This is good. Socioeconomic diversity is powerful. We know what works. We know that we're trying to build schools and not walls. You have to stop resegregation and promote diversity. You have to have a focus on math, science, reading, and history. And socioeconomic diversity, according to all of the research, is a critical piece of these seven things.
Okay, but are those goals being achieved now?
Yes, because since 1997 and up to 2007, there was a study done that said that African-American achievement went from 40% at grade level to over 80% at grade level. 2005, a New York Times article showed that in 4 years that had taken place. Now, is it perfect? No. But socioeconomic diversity is not the cause. In other words, to try to make socioeconomic diversity the enemy of school excellence is wrong.
But if a new school board majority was elected last year on a platform supporting community schools, mm-hmm. doesn't that suggest that some parents, at least the majority of parents, at least the majority of the parents voting, want a change?
Right.
If that's the case, how should that be accommodated?
That's a great question. Only 8% of the people voted. It's a one-vote margin. And the fact of the matter is that they did a survey once they got elected, and 94% of the people that answered their survey said they were satisfied with their school assignment, that this is not about busing, as they have tried to make it, because 99% of the kids go to school within 10 miles, 85% within 5 miles. The medium average of a bus ride is 20 minutes. Socioeconomic diversity is a proven tool that connects to school achievement.
Wake County School Board Member John Tedesco was willing to be in the conversation with you today so that the three of us could talk together and address some of these questions together, but you were strongly against it. I just wanted to ask, may I ask you why?
No, that's not correct. You got the wrong information if they said I was strongly against it. I have no problem debating him, but a couple of things. Mr. Tedesco is not the chair of the board, and I am president of the North Carolina NAACP. I wanted to make sure that we were able to really get into the fact. I'd be glad to come on, but I think that you and the media should raise the question, you know, why is it a board member and not the chair? And make sure that you make that it's clear that it's not just the NAACP, but it is, in fact, members of that school board. What I think would be a powerful conversation is for John Tedesco to talk to school board members. And I'd be glad to come back on and with him or the chair as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
and finally, what happens now from your perspective? Obviously, there are very strong feelings about this, and I don't use that word mm-hmm. feelings in a diminishing way. What is the next step?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say a couple of things and I'll conclude. They scrapped the plan without a plan. So they just said, we're no longer going to embrace socioeconomic diversity, and they've created a false dichotomy to suggest a socioeconomic diversity plan in Wake County public schools is the cause of some of the lack in student achievement, which in fact it has been the cause of an increase in student achievement. They've admitted their plan will create more high poverty, racially identifiable schools. We're going to challenge it with the federal laws. We're going to challenge it with our state constitution, because North Carolina is one of the only southern states that has in its constitution a guaranteed right for every child to have a sound, basic quality education. And if you create high poverty, resegregated schools, we believe that undermines the very premise of our state constitution. We have more than 100 years of experience in this at the NAACP, and yet we were not even allowed to put a 45-minute research cerebral report on the table, undergirding why what all the scholars say, that socioeconomic diversity is a key component, not the only, but a key component of student excellence, and it's wrong for them to create this false dichotomy.
Reverend William J. Barber is the president of North Carolina's NAACP. He was with us from Member Station KNCU at North Carolina Central. Thank you.
Thank you so much
for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
Let's turn to John Tedesco now. He's working to create the new school assignment policy for Wake County, North Carolina School District. He's with us now. Thank you for joining us.
Well, hello. I'm glad to be here with you and your listeners today.
Now, you were able to hear my conversation with Reverend Barber, and as I said, we did hope to have the three of us together. So I'm going to just ask you to pick up where he left off. And, you know, there's this old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Was the system broken in your view or not? What are you trying to fix?
Well, the system did have challenges, but if I might, and I don't want to digress too much, but just respond to the idea of conversation. And our board has been very generous in expanding public dialogue this year. We allow a half-hour public comment in each meeting, and every meeting this year, we actually changed the rules to allow for over an hour of public comment at every single meeting the whole year. And we've been out in the community having district meetings with families as well. So we've been engaging in public dialogue for extensive time. There were many groups in the community who asked for a 45-minute section of our agenda on a public meeting, and it's just not feasible to meet those demands for every group while we're trying to accomplish an agenda at every meeting.
Okay, so can we get back to the substance of what it is that you're hoping to accomplish with this new plan? What problem
Most
is
certainly.
It designed to address?
All right, well, you asked the old adage, it ain't broke, don't fix. Is it broke? Well, in Wake County, we do not have a diversity problem, as some would make it seem. We have a growth management problem. And our system, in terms of its design to manage for growth, has been extremely challenged in the last 10 years. Wake County schools, with 162 schools this year and 144,000 children, is the largest school system in the state. And we're dealing with a county that's over 850 square miles. So geographically, it's very large. So we have to be able to manage for growth. The current assignment policy, and that's what it is. It's a student assignment policy that had many goals in it. Goals for managing capacity, goals for managing our fleet, and it had a diversity goal in it. And it was a noble goal at that. And we value diversity. We're a very highly integrated community. The current assignment policy and then the tools that made that policy work, our software systems, our allocations, just weren't working as effectively. So we had many schools that were way over-enrolled, some schools that were way under-enrolled, multiple reassignments to families year in and year out, and the ability to maintain stability for these families while maintaining operational efficiency for the system was significantly challenged.
So you're saying it's not working?
Well, and in fact, it wasn't working at all.
Is that what you're saying? It's not working?
The
diversity policy
is
not working for its own goal. So why do you think then the NAACP is as upset about it as it is? I mean, the impression I got from Reverend Barber is that they are concerned that this is a backdoor method of dismantling the diversity goal or abandoning the diversity goal.
Yeah,
is that what you think?
No. And I think what's happening, unfortunately, is that it's much easier in the public debate with localized media to get 30-second sound bites out there of words like segregation or resegregation that cause fear into the hearts of some people. Unfortunately, it's just not the reality of the world we live in. I'm very fortunate to live in the dreams of someone like Dr. Martin Luther King. Here we are some 50, 60 years later, and I'm a younger man myself, only 35, having grown up in a very integrated world. I didn't know such ugliness or things like segregation. I couldn't even imagine what a world like that would look like. And it's nothing that I would want to even create or fathom to create. So it's nothing that's in our goals or in our desire or in our interest. So I'm just concerned that sometimes the public discourse doesn't allow for the details of all the elements to come out. So when people, for various different reasons, on sort of both sides of the aisle, there is a political debate, there was an election, and people use some of those elements for argument and feed and for fodder in the debate. Well, now that's sort of spun a little bit out of control, and it's not what the issues are about. We're trying to manage the system while giving more choice to families.
What's the next step?
Well, Mr. Barber noted about we didn't have a plan. Simply not true. Right now, we're in a planning process. The system is in the middle of a 3-year assignment plan. This plan was put in place 2 years ago and before we were elected, the new board members. That plan is still in effect. Nobody removed who was going to what school based upon that. And the board adopted two major policies early on in the year. One was a community assignment zone plan, a resolution that said we're going to take 9 to 15 months with members of the community, representatives from every district, and public engagement meetings to draft the new plan. And we were going to do it with larger community zones and clusters of school and choice within that, like is done in many districts around the country. We're going to continue our strong magnet programs. And then over that 9 to 15 months, we're going to continue to have a transition plan once the new formal model is adopted. So it'll be a multiple-year transition plan.
When do you think that the community will experience the new plan in its totality so that they can judge whether it's better?
Well, we're starting to phase. We're working on finishing that this year. And then by next year, we'll be phasing it in, again, over multiple years. So the first year, we'd probably have kindergartners, sixth graders, and ninth graders begin to make that transition as it phases into the system. And then that let that just trickle up and out.
John Tedesco is a member of the Wake County School Board. He is working on the new redistricting plan, and he was kind enough to join us from North Carolina's Agency for Public Telecommunications. Well, thank you for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you.
Coming up, the latest in our summer reading series for Tough Times. We have the author of a book titled Starting Over, 25 Rules When You've Bottomed Out.
I had no place to live. I had school starting in 2 weeks. I had no automobile either. I was renting a car. I was down and out.
Our Life's a Beach summer reading series continues. That's just ahead on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.